We love you. Thank you for family. Thank you for family, God. Hallelujah. Father, you're so good. Praise you. Love you, Father. Hey, Dick, can I pray? Father, we just worship you. We love you. We give you the glory and the honor. You're worthy of being exalted and magnified. And Father, today as we approach your word, we give you praise and honor. Give you glory. We exalt you and magnify you. And I thank you, Father God, that you got things that you want to speak to our hearts. You got things that you want to share with us. And I just purpose to be your vessel that you work through. Father, I realize if it wasn't for you and your help, I wouldn't have a single thing to share that's worth anything. But Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your sufficiency. I thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Let me just do something here to get started. Okay, I'm listening inside. There's some things on the inside that I'm listening to that I want to share. And just getting to be a pastor today. And you might think this is crazy, but I've been a pastor for 29 years. And I'm learning and I'm realizing that there's more and more and more that I get to step into as a pastor. And there have been some things over the years I've been slow at stepping into. There's been some things that I didn't want to step into. There's been some things I didn't want to do. How about you? Any of you ever had God put something in your heart that you didn't want to do? You know? It's like, God, I want to give you my whole life, but can I... not do that, and not do that, and not do that. And we all have different reasons and different excuses, but how many of you know in front of God our reasons and excuses are just worthless? Amen. You know, Moses had a bunch of reasons and excuses. I can't talk. I can't do this. You know what? We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Amen. Amen. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And just one of the things that I want to share with you as the pastor. To a degree, as a church, we're stuck. We're stuck. And what do I mean by that? I mean by that, that we're not getting done as much as God has for us to get done. Yep, we're coming to church and we're meeting and there's good praise and worship and there's good prayer and God does some awesome things. He heals people and the word gets ministered and stuff like that. But how many of you know we're supposed to do more than that? We're supposed to be reaching out. We're supposed to be impacting our community. And up in Dickinson, North Dakota this January when I was up there, Larry Phelan was ministering and he was talking about John the Baptist. A voice in the wilderness. And when he was talking about John being a voice in the wilderness, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And one of the things he said is, we as a church are supposed to be a voice. We're supposed to be a voice to our community. We're supposed to be a voice to our region. We're supposed to be a voice to this area. And I find it really interesting. You know, John was out in the wilderness. And he just started saying what God told him to say. And guess what people started doing? People started coming. People started showing up. And how many of you know that John didn't have the softest, most delicate, gentle, sweet, nice, warm, welcoming invitation delivered? How many of you know sometimes John was pretty blunt? Repent! Pretty direct? Who warned you to escape the coming wrath of God? Those are some of the things he said. Pretty direct and pretty straightforward. And we're supposed to be a voice. Guys, and what happened when people will stand up and say what God wants them to say and do what God wants them to do, you know what? It's crazy, but people will show up. People will show up because the world is looking for something. People in the world are looking for something. I'll bet there's a lot of people in here like me that you could testify to the fact that before you knew Jesus, you knew something was missing and you were trying to find it. You just didn't know where to look. You just didn't have a clue. Is there anybody in here like that that can testify? That before you knew Jesus, you knew something was missing and you were trying to find it. You know, and for me, it's really sad. Through my school, through my high school, you know, grade school, middle school, I can remember one individual that I could see Christ on him. One student, one other classmate, where you could see Christ on him. I remember looking at her one day and going, "You're different. You got something. Wow. Wow." You know what? We, as a body of believers, need to be a voice. We need to be a voice to our community, to our area. And I shared a message years and years ago. Oh, gosh, it was about 7, 8 years ago. And how many in here ever been driving a vehicle and you got stuck? What do you do when you're driving a vehicle and you get stuck? How many of you sit there and just push the gas pedal a little harder? Speedometer's moving. Tachometer's up there. You can hear the motor. But all the appearances from the driver's seat say, "You're moving." Except you're not. So what happens when you get stuck? It takes extra to get unstuck. How many of you, if you get stuck, you just stay in the driver's seat? I had two ladies raise their hand and go, "Uh-huh," and then out. Push. You know what? But to get unstuck, it's going to take extra. You can't keep doing what you were doing to get unstuck. You just can't. It's going to take a little bit extra. You might have to pull your phone out and call, you know, Jeff Johnson. In fact, somebody ought to call him and tell him, "Man, we've been missing you on Sunday mornings, Jeff. You out working or what?" Anyway, but you ought to just, you know, you got to do something extra. How many of you know if you're helping getting somebody unstuck or if you're helping you get unstuck? I know if Diana and I were stuck, she would be the one behind the wheel. I would be the one out behind the vehicle. Yeah. You ever been stuck in the woods? Amen. Yeah, raise your hands, guy. You've been stuck, man. But you know what you do when you get stuck? You start looking for what's available to you. You start looking, what do I have? I got my dad's 69 three-quarter ton Chevy truck stuck one time, and it was chained up all the way around. For those of you that have done some four-wheel driving and been out in the snow, you know you're stuck. And it was the springtime, and there was deep snow, and, you know, the wind had blown, and the snow got crusty. And it was actually hard enough, I'm driving on top of it. Until I got up on top of this one mound, and the tires broke through. And I'm sitting on about 6 foot of snow. And the tires are just kind of in the air. And it's my dad's truck, and I did not have permission to have it. Uh-oh. If that's all it was. But you know what I did? I had to get out. And I had to see what was available to me to get unstuck. I found a handyman jack and a chain. And I found two trees where I could wedge that handyman jack in there. And I wedged that jack in there, and I wrapped that tree, wrapped that chain around the end of that jack, and I could do one click on the jack, get in the truck and rock it a little bit, do one more click. 45 minutes later, I was out. But the point is this. How many of you in your own Christian walk have ever felt like you're stuck? You felt like you're stuck. You felt like, man, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving. I want to be, but I'm just stuck. Here's just the point. When you're stuck, it takes a little extra to get out. You know, and if Diana and I were out, we were stuck in. Stuck. Oh. Hey. Yeah. And you know what? I get paid to talk. You know, I got a scripture to look at. It says that God chooses the foolish things of the world. And everybody goes, "Amen." Have you seen our pastor lately? But if she would be in the car, I'd be out pushing. How many of you ever pushed on a car that was stuck and that tire started spinning? What happened to you? You got dirty. You got covered with whatever it was. Slush, snow, mud. Oh, man. My whole point is this. It's going to take a little extra. It's going to take a little bit more. And part of it that I want to share with all of you, how many of us, we don't know what the extra is right now. We don't know what the more is right now. That's kind of how it is sometimes when you get stuck. You don't know what's available to you. You don't know what you got in your vehicle to use to get unstuck. But once you realize, oh man, I got to do a little extra. Start digging around. What do I have? What do I have? And we're going to be doing that. And today's message is going to be talking about that. Actually Easter Sunday, last Sunday, this Sunday, and ones in the future. Amen? Because I want to accomplish what God has for me to accomplish. How about you? Amen. And as a body of believers, I want us as a church to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. I do want to hear, well done. Everybody say done. Done. You know, if something's done, that means somebody did something. Well done, good and faithful servant. Everybody say servant. Amen. Servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. That means that servant did something. Amen. Hallelujah. And this, take in your Bible and open up to Matthew chapter 18 and Matthew chapter 25. Because I want to spend just a moment talking about how important our subject matter is this Sunday, last Sunday, Easter Sunday, and Sundays to come. Just how important it is. First go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I did not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times 7. So what's Jesus talking about here? Forgiveness. That's the subject matter. That's the subject matter that was brought up. I'm going to just read real fast for a number of verses. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, everybody say kingdom of heaven. You know what Jesus is going to be talking about in the following verses? Kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom of heaven is like. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, the master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave his debt. How many of us are thankful to Jesus that he forgave our debt? But the servant went out and found his fellow servant, who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told the master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers, until he should pay all that was due him. How many of you think that's pretty intense? That's pretty intense. And this is Jesus talking, amen? And did you remember verse 23? Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. This, how many of you think this is getting intense? And then notice the next part, verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Remember me saying last week there's certain verses I don't like to read because they're pretty hard? Guess what? This is one of them. This is one of them. But this is Jesus talking, right? And this is Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven. And he, so shall my Father do. So shall my Father do. Now, yeah, you know what? Verse 34 again. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torture until he should pay all that was due him. How important is forgiveness? How important is forgiveness according to these verses of Scripture? And if a person doesn't forgive, what ends up happening to that person? Well, let's just put it this way. The torturer gets to have his way, gets to have impact into that person's life. You know, there's a verse of Scripture over in one of the Corinthians where Paul is talking and he says, forgive that one, lest Satan should take advantage of you. Okay, now, is it getting like serious in here? I just want to ask that question. How many of you thinking, well, Pastor, this is pretty weighty stuff. This is pretty heavy stuff. How important is forgiveness? And how many of you know forgiveness is not our subject matter for the day? But it's good, isn't it? Man, how important it is for us to give. Did you know that the Scripture names a number of different things that'll hinder your prayer life? That'll hinder your prayer life? But do you know what Jesus brought up twice? That he said will hinder your prayer life? If you will not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Hallelujah. And just that verse of Scripture, I'm hoping to make a connection here in a little bit when I go to Matthew 25. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. How many of you know sometimes through unforgiveness, we will open up a door and let the torturer in? We'll let Satan in to come in and take advantage of us. How many of you know this is pretty weighty? Amen. Good. Okay. I'm getting weighty on purpose. Going here on purpose. Amen. Now go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. And just for time's sake, I just want to read a few verses and then keep a marker here in Matthew. I think we'll get back here today. That's my goal anyway. And you'll find out. Let's just read verse 30, Matthew 25 with me. We'll see if this works. Matthew 30, chapter 25, verse 30. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, if you think that sounds pretty serious. That sounds pretty serious. Wouldn't you say that's pretty weighty? And cast that unprofitable servant. Where? Into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth? Pretty serious. Stay right there in Matthew chapter 25. But now go to another verse of Scripture. Verse 46. Verse 46, Matthew 25. And those will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. How many of you think everlasting punishment sounds pretty serious? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness sounds pretty serious. Getting turned over to the torturer. All this sounds pretty serious, and all this is stuff that Jesus spoke. Amen? Amen. Now, how many of you were starting to put together when we read there in that first verse of Scripture, verse 30 in Matthew 25, what preceded that? Do you know what preceded it? No, it's not unforgiveness. It's the talents that have been given to us. And whether we use them or not. Because if you start reading, you can just back up. And it's interesting again, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven. Oh, there's the kingdom of heaven again. We're talking about kingdom stuff today. Kingdom of heaven stuff. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered to each one, delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents. And you read on down, and to one he gave 1 talent. And the fellow who had the 1 talent, he took his talent and buried it and did nothing with it. Did nothing with it. And what was the response to that person who did nothing with the talent that he gave? Okay, so was forgiveness pretty weighty? So do you think using the talents that God has given us, is it pretty weighty? Is it pretty heavy? Is it pretty serious? Is it something that we can just ignore and just say, no, friends, it's not. And can I tell you the motive of today's message? I got a number of different motives in my heart today, even though it's weighty. One is this. Oh, there's a lot of them. But here's one. One day, Jesus will talk to you. He will visit with you. And he'll talk to you about what you did here on this earth. You know what I want to have happen? I want you to be able to say to Jesus, I did this, 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 and then I want you to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's part of my motive. Okay? Here's another part of my motive. I know whenever we die to ourselves and say yes to Jesus and say yes to what he has called us to do, and we take those talents and we use them, that we will actually increase. We will actually gain. We will actually get more. Amen? Part of my motive is for you to have more. But sometimes what robs us of the more is ourselves. Well, I don't want to. It's like I said earlier, I get the Father asking me to do some things that I don't want to do. I don't want to do them. But I know when I don't do what the Father has for me to do, that I am robbing myself of more. How many of you want to rob yourself? I don't think you do. But man, sometimes we don't want to step into what he has for us to do. How many of you got that little sheet of paper with you that has verses of scripture on it? I hope everybody has one. And if you don't have one and you can share one, I think there's some folks. How many of you got one? And how many don't have one? Let's just do it that way. How many of you got a sheet of paper? It was handed out in the bulletin. Maybe you don't have one, but it's really important that you do. So if a husband and wife, who doesn't have one? Okay, I need one up here. If somebody got one that I can have, okay. All right, there you go. There we go. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you say God's been good to you? How good has he been to you? I mean, just think about it. How good has God been to you? How many of you are still married today because of God? How many of you are still alive because of God? How many of you aren't in hell or headed that way because of God? I mean, God has been good to me. Turn and look at somebody and say, God has been good to you. Oh, he has been so good to us. His mercy is new every morning. We don't get what we deserve. We get his love. He's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. God is so good. Did you know I used to steal from my mother? Yeah. She was so generous. Way back in the 70s, she would pay me $10 an hour. And I'd go out. Now, I'm not proud of this. And I'd go out into the woods. Supposed to be doing stuff with my chainsaw and tipping trees over and stuff like that. And I was probably out partying the night before. And I'd lay down in a nice sunny spot and sleep for about 3 hours, 4 hours. And I'd go in and I'd hit the time clock and say, yeah, I worked 5 hours. She'd pay me. I'd rip her off. Rip her off. All that's forgiven. I think that's pretty low when you rip your mother off like that. It's just especially when she was so generous. She was so generous to me my whole life. To a fault, actually. But I just did some of the stuff I did, and all that's forgiven. All that's forgiven. I wanted to say this because when my mom passed away, she gave each one of us 9 kids that were still alive an inheritance that just shocked the tar out of us. Blew me away. Just blew me away. Look at someone and say, God's been good to you. God has been good to you. We start thinking about what we used to be like and what we used to do. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Oh, my. God, you've been good to me. So good to me. So good to me. And you got that sheet of paper there. What that is that's a translation. And some people always ask me, but that translation comes from Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. It's out of what's called the Passion Translation. But I wanted to just start here today, and I want to dig a little bit. And I like the first part of this verse. Romans 12, verse 1. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Isn't that a great question? I just like that question. I like questions. I ask questions. I like it when questions get asked of me because they cause me to engage. They cause me to get thinking. And I deliberately brought up, how good has God been to you? And then here's this question. What, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? What should be my response? What's my proper response to how good God has been to me? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifice. You know what my proper response should be to God? You know what our proper response should be to God? God, here is my life. Amen. You can have the whole thing, God. You can have it all. I will go where you want me to go. I will say what you want me to say. I will do what you want me to do. Father God, that should be our proper response, to be a sacrifice, to be a living sacrifice. But how many of you, is there anybody in here, you ever feel like you hold back? Nobody wants to put any hands up. I know I do. My goal this morning is for us to realize how important it is to give ourselves to God. And please know this, when you give yourself to God, you're going to get more back. Hallelujah. I encourage you to surrender yourselves to be his sacred living sacrifice and live in holiness, experience all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Hallelujah. I want to pull something out here. Next verse of scripture, verse 2. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Let me read that again. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Do you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to change the way we think. Anybody ever seen the movie Remember the Titans? There's a line, we're going to change the way we do this. We're going to change the way. We're going to change. One of the things we need to do is we need to change the way we think. How many of you know the way God thinks and the way that we think, they're different? Now, you got that sheet of paper. Head with me over to the book of James. I'm going to try two things together, and then we're going to bring this to an end. Go with me to James chapter 1. It's amazing how much James chapter 1 and Romans 12 have in common. James chapter 1. If you sacrifice more and more and more of your life to God and to Jesus, will you lose or will you gain? Let me do that again. If you sacrifice more and more of your life to God and to Jesus, will you lose or will you gain? How many of you want to gain? I want to gain. I want to gain more. I want to have what really matters in life. Did you get to James? James chapter 1, verse 21. I want to tie these together, and you got that sheet of paper in front of you still? Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Now go back and read verse 2 again on that sheet of paper. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions of the culture around you, but inwardly be transformed by the Holy Spirit through total reformation of your thinking. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Did you know both of these verses are really saying a lot the same thing? Amen? You know what? We got to get rid of our old way of thinking. I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. Do you know what I used to believe was going to bring world peace? How many of you think world peace is a great idea? I had the answer to the war, and I knew what was going to bring world peace. You want this? Just get everybody stoned, man. Just get everybody high, and we would have world peace. That was my thinking. Some of you are looking at me and go, man, I'm glad you changed your thinking. Yeah, but how many of you know our thinking, as good as we think it is at the moment, isn't necessarily too hot. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Did you know thinking can be filthy? Did you know thinking can be wicked? Got to lay it aside. Do you know I've had people say to me, I won't forgive. I won't forgive. Did you know that's wicked thinking? That's filthy thinking? See, laying aside. And I like this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what the will of God is. Do not be conformed to this world. Just this. But be transformed. I like to say this. If our minds are not transformed by the word of God, then our lives will be conformed to the world. Just think about that for a moment. If our minds are not transformed by the word of God, then our lives will be conformed to the world. Now we need the word of God and the Holy Spirit working inside of us to get us to think differently. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God's ways are different than ours. You were there in James. Now go with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Do you know the Bible says about Jesus that he did not come to be served, but to serve? He did not come to be served, but to serve. Are we supposed to copy his example? And how many of you know, I want you to get this, because you know what I have people say to me sometimes? You get to Mark chapter 10. Sometimes I have people say to me when God's got something that he wants them to do. There's people will come up to me and they'll say, well, Pastor, let me check my calendar. How many of you would deliberately, consciously say to God, if he said he wanted you to do something, would say, let me check my calendar? But you know what? We do. We do it subconsciously. We do. Let me check my calendar, God. I'll get back to you on that. Wow. I don't think that's a good way of doing things. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand, the other on your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with? And they said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared." Then, when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Okay, now, how many of you can start to pick out from that last verse of scripture there what's going on with the 12 apostles? What's happening? What kind of reaction are John and James getting from the other 10? Jealousy, resentment. Are they getting after them? Are they putting them down? Are they, who do you think you are? They're starting to, you know, it just isn't good what's taking place here and what's going on here. They wanted a place of being elevated, and Jesus, nope, that's not mine to give. And then when they were like that, the others start getting after them. They start getting after them. And Jesus sees something going on here with his 12 disciples that he doesn't like. And you get to verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you." You know, he said, this is how the world does it. This is how the world does it. Those that are great, they exercise authority. But guys, that's not how we do it. That's not how we do it. We don't do it that way. "Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant." Man, do you see? It's totally backwards. Totally opposite of how the world does it. I like it over in Philippians there. It says, Jesus made himself of no reputation. Is that what you see in the world? People making themselves of no reputation? No, what are people in the world trying to do? Boy, they're making themselves be something. Oh, look at me. Look at how great I am. Look at how awesome I am. Look at how powerful I am. Look at me. Jesus made himself of no reputation. What should be our heart? I'll be a servant. I'll be a servant. I'll be a servant. Years ago, I don't like doing funerals. And I especially don't like doing funerals when I don't know the individual who's passed away. But for the simple fact that I've been here for 25 years in Custer, pastoring, guess what? I get a fair amount of phone calls to do funerals. And I would always try to get out of it. I'd always try to... And then about 7, 8 years ago, I just said this. I said, "God, if I am not busy, if there are no conflicts, and it's totally wide open, I will say yes every time to a funeral, whether I know the person or not. I'll just say yes." Because as children of God, our response to serving other people should be yes. It should be yes. It should be yes. That's funny. I don't know if you heard what I heard. This is what I heard. It should be yes. How many of you caught that? How many of you know that should not be our answer? Our answer should be yes. And it's amazing. After I did that, after I said, "God, I will say yes every time those dates are open and I got no conflict and I can do it, yes, every time. Every time." You know what he has done for me? Almost the moment I get done talking to the person, hanging up the phone, or they walk out of the room, God drops in my heart what he wants me to share with that family. When we're willing to die to ourselves and say yes to the Father, even in those things that we don't want to, guess what he'll do? He'll give you more. He'll give you more. He'll give you more. Amen. How many of you want more? The way we get more is by saying yes. And sometimes that means we sacrifice our own time. Sometimes that means we don't get to do what we want to do. But we say yes to Him. Y'all okay? Y'all with me?
Amen.
Glory to God. How about this? No, I won't go there. I won't go there. Y'all doing okay? Seriously, you're doing all right? Okay, praise God. Verse 30, 43 again. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. How many of you know God thinks different than we think? Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Did you know that God's thoughts are not like our thoughts? They're not like our thoughts. A lot of people take this verse of scripture to mean that God's thoughts and our thoughts can never be the same. But that's not what this means. It just means before we knew Jesus Christ, before we knew God, before we knew His Word, we had one way of thinking and God had another way of thinking. Who's right? God's way of thinking or your way of thinking? God's way of thinking is right. And God's way of thinking is this. If you want to be great, serve. The way God does things is different than how the world does it. And my desire, my heart's cry for us today is this, is that God, we will say yes to serving. That's what I'm after. That's what I'm looking for. How many of you want your life to be even more? And you're going, yeah, but Pastor, you said at the beginning when you started talking two different times when you figured it out that there would be about 75% of the people who served. Yeah, I did. And thank God for that. But I also want to share this with you. How many of you know that as the pastor, I also shared as a church, we're stuck? How do you get unstuck? How do you get unstuck? It requires people doing more than they were when they got stuck. So what am I saying to you as your pastor? There's going to be opportunities in the future for us to give and for us to serve more. Amen? How many of you want to? Seriously, you want to get done what God wants you to get done. You want us as a church to get done what God wants for us to get done. Hallelujah. Then that's going to require getting out of the vehicle. You know, anybody ever been stuck in the wintertime? Bitter cold? Bitter cold? I remember I had this friend, I don't think I should say his name, most of you would know him, but back when I was a teenager and stuff and we'd go out partying and things like that, every once in a while you'd get stuck up at 2 hour. How many people are familiar with 2 hour? I know some of you are out there. Yeah, hands are going up. And you'd get stuck. I remember this one friend, he wouldn't get out of the vehicle. He just wouldn't get out of the vehicle. He's going to sit in the vehicle where it's nice and warm all the time. And you got everybody else out in the cold, pushing. Some people getting snow thrown all over them. Amen? Folks, I'm just sharing this. There's going to be some stuff required of us that's going to take more. Amen? And I'm going to be looking for people that are willing to say, Pastor, I'll do more. And do I know what all of that stuff is right now? No. I don't know what it all is right now. But I know as I keep snooping around and as I keep digging and as I keep waiting on God and I get other people to start snooping around, how do you snoop around? Prayer. Praying. Digging around, praying. And as we get snooping around and we get digging, you know what? God's going to witness things to our hearts. You want to get some traction? You want to get going? Here, throw this under the tires. hook this up to that. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there. Glory to God. Yeah, I'm going to stop there. How many of you know I'm not done? How many of you know there was Romans chapter 15, verse 1 on that sheet of paper? Stick that sheet of paper in your Bible and bring it back with you. I was so far from not getting done. Amen. And you guys, do you know I realized something today? Do you know I realized that this is not a hoop and holler message? Do you know I know that? Do you know I know that there's not a lot of amens, hoorah, yay! But if we really catch what Jesus is saying to us, what I'm talking about today and the Sundays to come, is life and life more abundantly. It is more blessed to give than receive. And friends, there are times when you will be asked to give and serve that you don't want to. What will be your answer? You know what I've found? It's easier to say yes when there is no pressure on, and make up your mind ahead of time that my answer is yes, than to wait till decide when you're right smack in the middle of all the pressure. Because I tell you what, there can be a lot of reasons to say no. And remember this, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was tempted to say no. He looked, God, if there's any way that you can remove this cup from me, please, let's find it. But do you know what God said? Jesus, there's no other way. The only way to get done what I want to get done is for you to say yes to this cup. For you to say yes to this cross. I believe there are times in our lives where it is going to require us to say yes to drinking a cup that we don't want to drink. But in drinking that cup, there will be life and life more abundantly for other people. Amen? So how about we start to get a hold of this? Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. How many of you do that with me? Yes, God. What should be our proper response to this marvelous mercies? Yes, God. Yes, God. Do me a favor. Realize this, that there will be times that your pastor is the mouthpiece of God to you. Why do I bring that up? Because people like it when the pastor says fun stuff. People don't like it so well when the pastor says tougher stuff. But you know what, folks? The tough words are just as real as the fun words. Amen? And this is part of pastoring that I don't like to do. You know, I like to water down the word. Uh-huh. Yeah, pray for me. In all seriousness, pray for me. Because I want, you know, one of my biggest sins is a people pleaser. I'm so glad for forgiveness. I'm so glad for forgiveness. And I have repented of being a people pleaser. And I know I'm forgiven, but I also know I can't keep doing it. Amen? Hallelujah. And my exhortation to us today is, yes, God. Yes, God. And please understand this. You will. I know I'm repeating myself, and that's okay. But you will encounter things in your future where you will want to say no. But what you'll actually do, you know, and there will be times when it comes through your pastor. There will be times when it comes through your husband. There will be times when it comes through your wife. And when you say no, you're saying no to the Lord. And can I share something with you? I want to share something with you I am very careful of, and I believe you'll find out this is true. I am very careful at saying, God said. How many of you have noticed that about me? I'm very careful with that. I don't stick God said unless I know God said. Because you know what will happen? If you're always saying God said, God said, God said, it's kind of like the little boy crying wolf. And pretty soon people are tuned out because God said everything. No, he didn't. How many of you know sometimes God didn't say it, the individual did? And I really have to guard against not saying God said if it's just me. Amen? I'm very careful with that. I don't take that lightly. Hallelujah. And I think most of you who know me, you know that. Because that's precious. That's precious. I remember when God asked me, do your words mean anything to you? Wow. All right. Did you get anything out of this today? I hope so. Maybe I ought to believe so. I know so. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up.